Hey everyone, this is Pastor Jesse of Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Churches. We hope you enjoy our sermon today. It was recorded at both churches on Sunday, November 3rd, which was also Communion Sunday, as well as All Saints Day. The scripture reading this morning comes from the first book of Kings, chapter 18, verses 20 through 39. Hear now the word of God. So King Ahab sent word throughout all Israel, and assembled the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Go, get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given to them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice had come. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars of water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So last week, we saw the division of the kingdom. Last week we saw Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and again, I do not know how to pronounce those two names. We saw these two kings of Israel splitting the kingdom. The northern kingdom began to worship idols, and the southern kingdom began to, be enslaved by their king.
And if you were following along this week in your bulletin insert, if you have been reading the stories of Elijah and weaving how Elijah comes to this point on Mount Carmel, it took about 100 years from where we were last week until where we are today. To where we are, where the man coming over the hill, Elijah, the prophet or the miracle worker, is coming to the northern kingdom, coming to King Ahab and trying to turn the country around. King Ahab had married Jezebel, and his queen had started to worship Baal. And Jezebel is a name that has been used throughout history to talk about evil women, and this sermon is not about Jezebel this morning. Amen. Instead, what happens is Jezebel begins to worship Baal, and Ahab follows her. Ahab worships Baal, kills all the prophets of the Lord, and now we have a country that has turned their backs on God. And so Elijah comes to town, he comes to the northern kingdom and says there will be a drought because of Israel's sin. There will be a drought because of Israel's sin, and then he gets ready for his showdown. He arranges a final encounter between the prophets of Baal and himself. There are 450 prophets of Baal, 450 men who claim that Baal is the true God of Israel. And so he says to the king, gather your prophets, gather Israel and meet me on top of Mount Carmel. He stands before the people and he says in verse 21, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, worship him. If Baal is God, worship him. Then he turns to the 450 prophets. He says, bring forward two bulls. You will prepare your bull and put it on the altar and pray to Baal. I will prepare my bull and put it on the altar and pray to the Lord. So the prophets of Baal start first. They prepare the bull, they start chanting, they start calling out on the name of Baal, they start screaming at the top of their lungs. Elijah at noon starts taunting them, and I don't know if we caught it, but I always laugh every time I hear it. Surely he is a god, shout louder. Perhaps he is deep in thought, perhaps he is busy, perhaps he is traveling. Maybe he is asleep. And we must wake him up. At this, the prophets start screaming louder, chanting louder, slashing themselves with swords and with spears until their blood flows freely. And at the end of the day, by the time of the evening offer, the very last verse that Beverly read, the time of the evening sacrifice had come, but there was no response. No one said anything. No one answered. No one paid attention. 450 prophets of Baal, whichever God answers by fire, he is God. And so Elijah calls Israel around him, repairs the altar of the Lord, puts 12 stones to the altar, puts the bull on top, and then, to continue taunting the Baal prophets, has them dig a trench. Pour water on the altar, Elijah says. Do it a second time. Do it a third time. Let that trench be filled with water. Let it be a moat around the altar so that no one can say, I am making a trickery, or I'm doing something that is not true. And then his prayer is not like the Baal prophets. His prayer is simple. His prayer is quiet. His prayer is personal to God. He says, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their backs and turning their souls back to you. And then the climax of the story, the good news this morning, the fire of the Lord fell and burned up that offering, licked up the bull and the stones and the wood and even the water. And at this, all of Israel falls down, their faces on the ground. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. The Lord has shown that He is faithful. The Lord has shown that He is God, that the people of Israel know that He is God, and that worship will now begin. We will no longer worship Baal. We will worship the Lord. And so Elijah is standing there victorious, happy and amazed. He is the true prophet of God. He has listened to the word of the Lord. He has performed a miracle in front of all of Israel and Baal. He is standing on top of that mountain. The power of God is in their midst. He is a prophet. He is full of the Spirit. He has shown the might of God. And in the midst of all of this, in the joyful clapping and applause, in the praise and thanksgiving, and all of the wonders on top of that mountain, in the midst of Elijah's prophecy coming true that the Lord is Yahweh, that the Lord of their ancestors is still alive, that the God who freed them from slavery from Egypt is still alive, that they live and serve a living God, in all that applause and wonder and joy and amazement, we have to read verse 40. We have to hear what happens next. And then Elisha commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal, do not let anyone get away. They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley. And Elijah ordered them to be slaughtered. He slaughters 450 prophets. The downfall of Elijah in one single, simple verse. Elijah commanded them. Elijah told them. Elijah instructed them. Every time in Scripture that Elijah hears the word of God, it says the word of God comes to Elijah. In chapter 17, in chapter 18, in chapter 19, and we can keep going. The word of God comes to Elijah. The word of the Lord descends upon Elijah and tells Elijah to do this or to do that. But in verse 40, we don't see the word of God. In verse 40, we don't even see God's name anywhere. Instead, we see Elijah instructed the Israelites. Elijah brings them down to the valley. Elijah orders them slaughtered. How quickly does Elijah go from glory and applause and wonder on top of the mountain to the murder of 450 prophets in the valley? How quickly does Elijah go from the very top of a mountaintop to the very low of that valley? And if we read into chapter 19, if we started reading chapter 19, we know that Elijah is haunted by this decision. We know that Elijah is haunted by the fact that so quickly everything changed, that so obviously power corrupts. Verse 3 says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. It doesn't say it, but I think he was surrounded by 450 ghosts. I think he was surrounded by the sins that he had committed, the 450 men he had killed, the knowledge that his order did not come from the Lord, that God did not ordain this. And so Elijah travels to Mount Horeb. He travels to the mountain of God where Moses brought down the Ten Commandments. Elijah hides in a cave, and there's a tornado that comes. The mountain shakes, but God's word was not in the wind. There's an earthquake on that mountain. The cave looks like it's about to collapse, but God is not found in the earthquake. There is a fire in the heavens, but God is not found in the fire. Then there is a silence. Then there is a whisper. Elijah hears it and he covers his face. He hears it and knows he is speaking to God. He says, "Lord, I have been very zealous for you. I have done terrible things, and now they are going to kill me." It's interesting. Elijah stands on Mount Carmel, surrounded by Israelites and kings and queens and prophets. God sends his fire to prove his presence and that he is still alive. But Elijah doesn't hear the word from God until the silence. Elijah acts without God's backing, and that terrifies him. And so what does it feel like when we win? What does it feel like when we win, whether it's at work or at school or at home or in our lives, whether it's an argument or a disagreement, a fight, or a sports game? That when we win, when the altar catches on fire in the height and wonder and awesomeness of that single moment, with the applause and the sound and the might of that single moment, how quickly can we fall from grace? How far can we fall when we cannot hear the word of God? It's too loud and God can't get through. That's when disaster strikes. That's when we fall. That's when we fall, and we fall hard. And I think there's something profound in seeing this today. In an age when if you are not of the same mind of me, then you are somehow less than I am. It happens across political, it happens across religious, it happens in academia, it happens inside of this church. If we are on opposite sides, then somehow I must win. Elijah, the miracle worker, the one who is coming over the hill, the one to bring the northern kingdom back from the edge, he himself goes over the edge. He goes off reservation. He stops listening to God, and instead he asserts his own direction. And if it happens to Elijah, how quickly can it happen to us? How quickly can it happen that we only hear the loudest voice in the room? The normal way of thinking, the 21st century way of thinking, is that those are on TV, those on the radio, those who are grabbing the microphone or the megaphone and screaming the loudest usually have something to say. I think that's ironic now that I'm yelling into a microphone. But time and time again, we see that those who grab that microphone, we see the talking heads on TV, we see those who scream at the top of their lungs, that those who have money or power, those are the ones that we usually should not listen to. It's usually the humble ones. The 450 prophets were screaming all morning and afternoon, calling on Baal, screaming and chanting, and yet there was silence from heaven. Elijah's prayer was simple. Elijah's prayer was private. Elijah's prayer was an individual prayer. And so maybe we have lost our way. Maybe in all of the loud voices and the people yelling, you've lost your way, maybe we can't hear God over the roar of a million voices. Elijah lost his way. When he did, when he was scared and when he was alone, he went to the silence of the mountains. He went to a cave. He refocused and spent time, and there he heard God, not in the fire or the wind or the earthquake, but he heard God in the whisper. How can we listen to God? How can we go and listen in the silence? Listen for God in the whisper. If we need to, let's go up to the mountains. Let's go up and sit in that cave. Let's sit alongside of Elijah and wait. The word of God does not come in the fire or the wind or the earthquake. The word of God comes in the whisper, in the silence, in the moments when we can truly hear God. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.